Good evening to you, Rebecca, and thank you very much for coming. I really, really appreciate it.
Good evening. It's so good to be here.
It's thanks a conversation that I have all the time because it's something that is at the core of me. It really disturbs me how many, many young people have done what they've been told. They've gone to school for their primary, their secondary education for 12 years. Then they go to a university or a TVET college or whatever, tertiary education for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And they get the so-called qualifications. And then they need to enter the job market. And they've got all the papers. They've got all of the stuff that they've passed at school. They can't get a job. It breaks my heart because I see it every day. I get SMSs and letters all the time coming to me saying, please help me find a job. Look at my credentials. Look at my... And I just can't find a job. And for the first time, I now understand, based on the interaction that we've had with you guys, that there is a critical element that we are missing out on in this day and age, that maybe those things were relevant and could work in the not so distant past. But there's a new game in town. Talk to us about this context, this scenario. What's going on?
So I think critically at a school level, the kind of specialist, the knowledge-driven curriculum that we have is really less relevant to the workplace that we're faced with today. So as a rule, we're not teaching skills that are really important in that workplace, which allow people to be really impactful, allow them to stand out, allow them to be prepared for a different world, often a world of automation, a world of AI that's coming up. And we really need
to... Industrial revolution.
Yeah. And we really need to be better at a school level and a university level at equipping learners with really broad skills to enable them to explore diverse interests, get new skills, pull information from a variety of subjects, be able to think critically, be able to look at various scenarios in different ways, to rearrange the pieces and come up with a solution to the kind of problems that we are faced with now. A pollution problem, for example, and problems that we haven't yet, encountered in kind of a future world. And we're not preparing learners at a school level or at a university level for that. And you know, we can talk about, you know, kind of 7 or so key skills that we're not necessarily providing for them. You know, the first one being certainly mental elasticity and problem-solving ability, critical thinking, creativity. Even if robots took over, they're not going to be the ones creating
exactly
the content.
Sure. Yeah.
People skills, so learning to manage people, getting in touch with your feelings, listening with empathy, certainly STEM skills remain super important, a really hot topic, and people may be familiar with that, you know, science, technology, engineering and maths. The more advanced technology gets, the more advanced STEM skills will be required. So I guess learn to code is an example there. And we've also written about something that we've called SMAC, which is kind of social, mobile, analytics and cloud. And really it's actually could cover anything, but it's really about getting to grips with key skills and key platforms that will allow you to differentiate yourself in the job market and meet the skills that are required.
Let me just get a sense of where the conversation is going. So you're saying to me that the current educational system, as it is currently structured, the classroom, the curriculum, the teacher, with all the good intentions there may be in the world, is not preparing young people for the real world that we're living in. Because while people are able to pass exams and tests, they are unable to pass the critical test of being employed
Absolutely. And these are also not skills that are difficult to impart. So, you know, some of it is really just interdisciplinary knowledge. So really providing students with a wide variety of kind of subject material, getting them to read up on anything that interests them, anything that they're passionate about. So these are really kind of teachable, coachable skills that we could be putting in place at a school level as well. So there is kind of that disconnect between what we're covering in schools in what is a very knowledge-based curriculum that doesn't prepare us for a workplace that requires a number of different skills.
Give me a call. Give me a call. I'm sitting here talking to Rebecca Pretoria. She's country manager at Crimson Education. And we're talking about why it is that people that have the right credentials, mm-hmm. yeah, and you remember that I talk about the difference between qualifications and credentials, because, you know, just because you've got a particular credential doesn't necessarily mean that you're qualified. But we'll have that conversation as we continue. That there are certain skills that we need to impart. We need to give our young people in order for them to become employable. Let's talk about that. What does it mean to be employable? And by the way, give me a call. If you find yourself in that very strange twilight zone where you've got the credentials, but you're not getting the job, what is it? And you can probably feel it, that there's something that I'm not touching ground on. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today with Rebecca. Rebecca, this is not stuff that is being taught at school. Can it be taught at school?
I think it is being taught in places at school. So certainly I think there is an increased focus in the kind of skills. So given that, you know, and the stats that we hear about often in terms of what are the jobs that are going to be gone in the future by 2025, you know, there's an estimation that we'll lose 5 million jobs to automation, for example. So those are kind of real issues that I think schools are aware of, and I think that moving towards that space, you know, so thinking about less around regurgitation of knowledge, yep. In tests and exams, and more around application of skills, thinking critically, being able to solve problems, being able to, you know, children being given different scenarios for which they have to come up with different problems and present on them, work together in teams, learn how to collaborate, be more creative, and we work with students all the time and see some really amazing projects and work that they are doing, yeah. where they're really impactful on their own classroom, yeah. Could be really impactful in their own, yeah. community as well. So I think it is happening in pockets. It's maybe not formalized across the kind of broad education spectrum to allow everyone to be able to access those kind of skills.
On WhatsApp, Taha in Soweto says, "Evening, Aubrey, on the issue of unemployment, I just want to understand the message that they send back saying, sorry, but your application was unsuccessful. How was it unsuccessful if you met the minimum requirements?" Well, Taha, they probably just say to you that they just don't think that you're the person that they want to employ. But what does that mean, that you were unsuccessful? I get the question that Taha's asking. Mm. You've written the letter. You've motivated in the best way that you know how. You've even stuck your very thick resume onto that letter. And you get the thing that says, no, sorry, you were unsuccessful. What are they actually saying to you when they're saying that?
They're probably saying that they're looking for a different kind of person, that a minimum requirement might not necessarily mean a particular degree. A minimum requirement might not be necessarily mean a certain years of experience. So they might be looking for someone that doesn't have a thick resume, for example, but might have a one pager, that has a really kind of clear objective, a really clear vision, and that highlights the kind of skills, that they can contribute towards that company, towards the country, towards the world. So I think unsuccessful, and even the company themselves might not be able to identify the person that they're looking for. But if a person is unsuccessful, I think sometimes it just means that they're looking for something else, and it has nothing to do with minimum requirements.
Yeah, yeah.
Because more and more people today in South Africa have degrees than at any other time.
I do want to break down those employability skills. You started talking about them, but I do want to break them down. Please give us a call on 011-883-0702. Are you finding yourself in that situation? Do you find yourself not understanding what else must I do? Do you find yourself in that anxious position where you are almost walking into depression because you've done all that you've been told you need to do, and all the time you are being told you just are not good enough, or at least that's how you're understanding it. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Monica in Orlando East in Soweto. Hi, Monica.
Good evening. Good evening to you. Guest. A relative of mine was looking for a job advertised in the newspaper, but there was no address, and she couldn't get through on the phone. So in frustration, she went to the Yellow Pages, those days of the Yellow Pages.
Yes.
And she found in under the travel agents this same number. So she walked to that address. And the employer was surprised. How did you get here? How did you know where we are? And she said, I went to the Yellow Pages, and that's how I found you. And they were so pleased with that thing, that ability to think out of the box. She didn't even have the necessary qualification, but during the chat, during the interview, they picked up that it's somebody they can take a chance on. And educate her and train her in that line of job.
Sure. Yes. So there was something beyond the standard way of approaching that she was able to tap into, Monica, and that's how she was able to find them, is what you're saying to us.
Yes.
And I suppose what you are sort of alluding to here is that we need to go a little bit beyond the classical way of looking for a job over the last maybe 20 years in order to be able to get the job, is what you're saying to me in a roundabout way.
That's right.
Monica in Orlando East, I think, is catching coming very close to where we're wanting to go to. Itumeleng Pambili says, I have learned that meeting the minimum requirement doesn't guarantee employment. Please go deeper in the employability skills. Let's hone in on this idea of employability skills. Talk to me about the very definition. Today we're talking about lots of definitions. but talk to me about what are we talking about when we say employability skills?
So I think it's really important to say that in South Africa, that where there are obviously a lot of people looking for work, there are people who are really qualified who still don't have the right skills, and then there are obviously a lot of people who are unqualified and really feel completely unemployable because they have no skills. So I think the real question today is around those individual skills that may not come out of the individual degrees that people have gone in for. So it's being able to understand how you choose the right degree, what you come out with, and then being able to add to that. So really considering, and I think I love the way the previous caller said, you know, it's not about, or the previous comment, it's not about the minimum requirements. And I think maybe we ought to be thinking about what are those maximum requirements. And I think those maximum requirements are what are commonly referred to as 21st century skills. They feel a little bit intangible to people that are looking for a job when you're writing out a CV that really lays out, you know, education and work experience and all of those things that are minimum requirements. So I think they are things that feel a lot more intangible. And I mean, how do you put down there on your CV and in an interview that you've got kind of mental elasticity, for example, and problem solving skills?
But should you not just say that? I have mental elasticity.
And I think use examples that show that. So I think that even something like the traditional CV, is maybe not enough to kind of get you that job. So if you're going into the workplace where it is about, you know, problem solving, critical thinking, you know, being able to work with people, being able to be creative, interdisciplinary knowledge, where it's all of that, if you're putting down just your degree, your education, your schooling, you're not showing any of that to the employer. So I think maybe we just really need to be forefronting, what are those skills that we have, that the lady who kind of worked out where she was going to this job actually managed to show through that process. We really need to be kind of finding different ways of showing that.
Was that the mental elasticity?
Absolutely. That was a great example of kind of problem solving. And she was able to show that before she even had an interview. And I think it's about showing those skills, right from the start, from your CV, from your resume through to the interview, and being able to give really good examples of how you have those. And then those skills, and then going above and beyond that. So I mentioned that kind of unique term, SMAC. But that really is a good, example of just thinking about what are the additional skills that you need as well. So companies are really looking for people who are able to upskill. So if you've got a degree and you haven't had any, and you haven't had any luck finding a job, what are those other things that you need to do for yourself? Whether it's a short course, whether it's learning a skill, whether it's, just understanding, any of those things, kind of social analytics and so on.
I think Monica really encapsulated it beautifully, that you need to go above and beyond the set architecture of the process. In other words, you've got to go beyond them saying to you that you'll only find us through this website. Mm. If you've got the yellow pages, look in the yellow pages. That's what it means, really.
Absolutely.
It means doing whatever needs to be done in order for you to be understood by the prospective employer, that you are the person to do. And that doesn't get communicated only via the CV. And if it is going to be via the CV, you're saying to me, Rebecca, then you've got to be able to say those things, which is part of that elasticity that you're talking about, that you've got to be able to illustrate it in your CV, that beyond the BA in education that I have, I am able to apply myself in these ways that is going to be of benefit to you as an organization, is what you're saying to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can't show any kind of self-learning on top of that, so you're struggling, you feel like you've met the minimum requirements, you're still struggling, and you've tried numerous times, you're obviously doing something wrong, perhaps. So maybe it's about thinking about what are those maximum requirements,
yeah,
and what can I do for myself, to be able to bridge that gap, and use self-learning, do some courses, free courses, simple courses, learn a new skill, all of which shows initiative, and so on as well. And I think also, find ways of showing how you work with people, find ways of showing that you can manage people, work with people.
Are those not the things that people call soft skills?
They are soft skills, absolutely soft skills. And certainly in the US, and the beauty about their system, which is obviously different to us from a university point of view, is that liberal arts degree that they have really kind of covers both kind of soft and hard skills as well. So I think it absolutely covers the range of soft and hard skills. We shouldn't undervalue those soft skills.
I've got a feeling that at the end of our conversation, you're going to say to me that you need to show your ability to apply what you know. Let me read you some of the messages that are coming through, and then we'll go to the line. Dear Aubrey, the reason graduates, this is Tabo says, Dear Aubrey, the reason graduates are not getting employed is because universities are just teaching these graduates to memorize and cram textbooks and pass. This is happening here at the University of Johannesburg. I feel sorry for these students because they are not being taught how to tackle and solve real life problems. Let's go to the lines. Nozipo in Meyerton. Hi, Nozipo.
Hi, Aubrey, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Nozipo. What's on your mind?
Good. I just wanted to have 2 points, but I want to prefix them by saying that I recognize that I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
I'm actually going for work right now.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is that the employers need to know that you are willing to go above and beyond what is expected of you. And nowadays, I have a 25-year-old brother coming out of varsity. They just seem to think that what is required is the minimum, and it's not. You have to be able to go above and beyond what is required. But the other thing that actually works for me is, you were talking about the CV. Keeping it simple, okay, and making sure that whoever is picking up that CV, from the minute they put their eyes on it, they're able to basically ascertain what they're taking, what they are taking, who you are. You can't take the same CV, take it to this company and then the next company, and then expect to get
spray and pray.
You need to customize it to each and individual company for what they are looking for. So that's what's worked for me.
Nazipa, thanks very much for your call. What does Gary Player says? The more you practice, the more lucky you get. Nazipa, thanks very much for that call. But how do you then make them understand that you are the type of person that is willing to go above and beyond the call of duty, as it were, as Nozipo says?
Well, it's obviously easier if you get to interview stage to be able to do that. But I think, you know, at a point of entry, it's certainly considering what you're telling about yourself on your CV. And that's a perfect place to start. I think it was Sheryl Sandberg who has literally a one pager of CV, despite all the, you know, experience and knowledge and expertise and, you know, important roles that she's had. So I think it's about communicating it right there, in terms of who you are, the kind of skills that you have, your ability to do various things there, instead of just sticking to, for example, your education.
Let's quickly speak to Tobile in Benoni. Hi, Tobile.
Good evening, Obi.
Yeah, good evening to you. Yeah.
And you know, I've been listening with interest here at what you're saying. First of all, I want to disagree with this distinction of soft and hard skills.
Yeah.
I've always never believed in that. And I think that the emphasis on what we call soft skills is the reason a lot of people are unemployable, because they are not regarded as essential. My belief is that you either have all the skills for the job or you don't. And all the skills you need for the job are essential skills. That is, if they are necessary for the job. That's the first part. The other one, I do believe that we kind of are distant about this. It's you with education attached to you. And it doesn't affect you. That's what makes it difficult, because you are taught skills, what to do and how to do, and knowledge, but it's not integrated in you. Okay, and what happens then is that you present, but I'm here with these things, I should be okay. In the meantime, the person who's looking for to employ a person is looking for job fit. Are you the person who fits here? Are you the person who's going to get this thing moving? Let me give you a story. In 2010, I was unemployed when I applied for a job. But we remember that bust of 2008 that affected me. And I got a job in 2010. And at that time, I was competing against younger people. And so on. And I thought they had more of a chance. But I got the job. 3-4 years later, one of the managers who had actually taken it, that he was the director now, at the job, he said, "Do you know why we took you?" I said, "Actually, I don't know, because I was the oldest in that group." And he said, "Because we knew we would never have to worry about you. You would do this on your own. You would work this, and you would probably write your own choice.
You'd be self-managed. Tobi, I'm going to stop you there. I think you make a great, great point about not creating too much of an intellectual distinction between soft skills and hard skills. He's saying that you need all of those skills. So let's not separate them. We got 3 minutes left. What do we say to young people out there in general terms, so that they can start shifting their minds from just thinking that having a credential or a qualification is what's going to get them a job? I love the idea that you have just brought forward, and I think it resonates with Tobile's sentiments about think in terms of maximum skills, not minimum skills. But go ahead, Rebecca.
So I think it's important to tell people that to focus on the potential that can be unlocked. And not to focus on just the individual degree and the knowledge that's come from that. So I think people are unaware of the skills that they've developed through working at university, through work, going through the school system and so on. And really I think it's important that everyone understands that there's huge amount of potential in each person. We work with students all the time, and really the key focus is, and our kind of key message to them is, we can absolutely help you unlock the potential that is inside you. And I think people obviously disheartened through the job hunting process and so on as well. And really to focus on what that potential is, unlocking that potential and sending clear messages around that as well. So move away from the minimum requirements, move to the maximum requirements, thinking about what those skills are. And I think really importantly, look at how you can bridge that gap, as opposed to someone bridging that for in their university degree.
I think Toby
or outside
said something very, very powerful, and we'll talk about it perhaps also in the open line, where he says that you've got to integrate what you learn academically to the person of you. Because what they're looking for is you, the person. They're not looking for the degree. They're looking for the person who's integrated, who has become one with what they've learned. I think that's very powerful.
Amazingly powerful. And absolutely, they're looking at all of you.
Yeah.
They're not looking at, okay, well, he's smart in this one area. You know, they're looking at the whole person, the person who is empathetic, the person who is impactful on the world, the person who has a good social conscience.
Will you promise to come and join us again? Because this is a conversation that needs to continue.
Absolutely.
How
it's
do people get a hold of you?
You can contact me through Crimson Education. Get hold of me on my email address, r.pretorius@crimsoneducation.org. We've got offices here in Rosebank, and offices, 16 kind of offices around the world as well. So you can hit us up at our website, look for us on Facebook, or Twitter as well. But otherwise, contact me personally, Rebecca Pretorius.
Rebecca Pretorius, Country Manager at Crimson Education. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much. It was
great
to be here.
It's 11 o'clock time for...